Welcome, everyone. This is Gary Spackman at the Department of Water Resources. This is the time and place for a pre-hearing conference regarding multiple applications to appropriate water filed by Cat Creek Energy LLC. We have numerous participants who are signed in, and welcome again to everybody. First item of business today is to call the roll, and so first of all, internally here at the Department of Water Resources, again, I'm Gary Spackman, Director of the Idaho Department of Water Resources, and we have a couple of other folks here, if you'll introduce yourselves, and then I'll go through the list that I have of parties and participants. Kimberly?
Oh, this is Kimberly English with the department.
Sheldon Costello with the department as well.
So there are three of us present here physically today, and then let me call roll if I can. So first of all, Cat Creek Energy LLC.
Okay.
Hello?
Someone will need to mute.
Yeah, someone was not muted, so you'll need to mute, or at least not have side conversation. So Cat Creek Energy LLC.
Morning, Director. This is TJ Budge.
Hi, TJ.
James Carcoolers.
Thanks, James. And Dave Tuthill, are you on?
Yes, on behalf of Cat Creek, yes. Thank you.
Okay, great. Then I have Alan Thompson. City of Boise.
Director, this is Chris Bromley on behalf of the City of Boise.
Thank you,
Mary Grant here from the City Attorney's Office as well.
And did I hear correctly, it's Mary Grant?
Yes.
Thank you, Mary. City of Meridian.
Yes, Director Charlie Hansinger for the City of Meridian. I believe that Kyle Laddick should be on the line as well.
Yes, sir. Kyle Laddick, sir.
Thank you, Charlie and Kyle. Turn the page. District of Park Center and Esbar Ranch.
Good morning, Director Spackman. This is Dana Hofstetter for the District of Park Center and also for Esbar Ranch. Also on the line is Tyler Anderson, who is my co-counsel in this case, and also with Holly Trasco and Tony Jones with Rocky Mountain Econometrics, Heidi Welsh with Stormwater Engineers, and Chris Stevens with the District and Esbar Ranch.
Okay, thank you. Welcome. Elmore County Board of County Commissioners.
Director Spackman, Dylan Lawrence is on the line for Elmore County.
Greetings, Dylan, thank you. Gwen Rice Ranch. Gwen Rice Ranch has not been appearing at our previous pre-hearing conferences, and perhaps at the conclusion of this pre-hearing conference, I'll send out an inquiry about continued participation. Idaho Conservation League. Marie.
Director. Apologies, I needed to get off mute. This is Marie Calloway-Keller, and I am here for the Idaho Conservation League. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Marie.
You're welcome.
Idaho Office of Energy and Mineral Resources.
Joe Lynch from the Idaho Department of Energy and Mineral Resources is here, along with Morgan Brumman.
Thank you, George and Morgan. Idaho Department of Fish and Game and Department of Lands.
This is Ann Bondi for both. I also have several Fish and Game staff people on with me today.
All right, great. Thank you, Ann. Welcome. Boise Project Board of Control. Al Barker, are you out there? Idaho Power Company.
Good morning, Director John Simpson here today, and I believe Scott Pugrid is going to be on also.
Great. Thank you, John. And Scott, if you're there, welcome.
Thank you, Director.
Thanks for participating. Riverside Irrigation District. I'm assuming, Mr. Simpson, and I don't know whether you can speak for Al Barker, but I'm assuming that Al would be here representing Boise Project and Riverside.
Mr. Director, I think that's correct, and I'm trying to get a hold of Al right now.
Okay.
Make sure he didn't misplace the date.
That's great. Okay, I'll push through and then come back. Okay, and then I have a number of the Treasure Valley Ditch companies listed here, and rather than go through each of them, Sawtooth Law Office, are you here participating?
Yes, this is Bryce Barrett. Good morning.
Bryce, thanks for being here. And maybe for the record.
Yeah, Director.
Go ahead.
Director Stagman, this is also Andy Waldera at Sawtooth, particularly with respect to Black Canyon Irrigation District and Pioneer Irrigation District.
All right, thank you, Andy, as well. And I probably should go through this list. So, Bryce, you're here representing Boise Valley Irrigation Ditch Company, Canyon County Water Company, Eureka Water Company, Farmers Co-op Ditch Company, Middleton Mill, Middleton Irrigation Association, Napa Meridian, New Dry Creek Ditch, Pioneer Ditch, Pioneer Irrigation District, Settlers Irrigation District, South Boise Water Company, and Thurman Mill Ditch Company. Let me back up again. Who are you representing, Andy, today?
Essentially the same group you called out with Bryce, but also specifically Pioneer Irrigation District and Black Canyon Irrigation District.
And I called out Pioneer. Did I call out Ballantyne Ditch as well?
I think you missed that one, but I think that covers all.
Yeah, I think I did miss it. I don't have Black Canyon in my docket sheet, Kimberly.
Okay, I'll make sure and add it.
Okay. And thanks for working through that. And then we have Suez Water.
Yes, Mr. Director. Mike Lawrence with Gibbons Pursley for Suez.
Thank you, Michael. Treetop Ranches.
Director, Dylan Lawrence is on the line for them as well. Sorry, my space bar didn't work. Unmute there.
Right. It's always tough. Star 6, they tell me. Dylan, thank you, Dylan. Trout Unlimited. Anybody from Trout Unlimited?
Hi, Hi, this is Kira Finkler with Cattle Limited. I just joined.
Kira, thank you.
Sorry, I'm a few minutes late.
We didn't know it was you were tardy until you admitted it.
Oh, never mind then.
Bureau of Land Management.
Good morning, Director Speckman. This is Fred Price with BLM, and I believe Sandra McRae is on the council.
Thank you, Fred and Sandra.
Sandra McRae is here.
Thank you, Sandra. Wendy Combs.
Wendy and John Combs are present.
Thank you, Wendy and John. Wildlands Defense. I don't recall whether they have participated recently either, but we'll send out an inquiry. Okay, that's my complete list. I'll circle back. Do we have, is Al Barker from the Boise Project and Riverside on the phone?
I am.
Thank you, Al. Okay, I think that's, did I miss anybody? All right, thanks to everybody for that arduous process. And let's just talk through where we are right now. All of you should have received within the last day or so two orders from the Department of Water Resources. And hopefully those orders at least comprehensively address the issues that were pending in front of the department. I'm sorry that you didn't have more time to review. So I want to come around to Cat Creek Energy at this point. Mr. Budge, TJ, where do you want to go from here? And then I'll come down to the other parties, the protestants and interveners. Where do you want to go from here, TJ?
Yeah, thank you, Director. Let me just provide a brief update on the project and then let you know what we have in mind for moving forward. I do appreciate the orders that the department issued and the time that was put into those, and those provide a path forward for us and enable us to move forward with the case. As I think everybody's aware, the hydro component is one of three parts of the Cat Creek renewable energy project. There's also a solar component and a wind component to that project. Cat Creek continues to move forward on all three fronts and is developing a coordinated effort to construct the projects. Given the size of the projects, the construction has to happen in somewhat of a staged process. There's some logistical constraints as far as traffic capabilities and things of that nature. And at this point, Cat Creek is moving forward first with construction of the wind and solar, and then with the hydropower. That's a bit of a relief from my standpoint because it gives us a little more breathing room than we had anticipated initially in terms of getting the water right approved. So happy to report that we've got some working time there. The other thing that's happened on our end is some of the protests about this matter raised concerns over fisheries and environmental things of that nature. We do have a technical expert, LimnoTech, who's responding to those, and they would like to collect some additional data this summer that we're optimistic will enable us to resolve those protests in a cooperative manner. So with that background, Cat Creek, we held a meeting to discuss internally a path forward and a timeline for completing the water right permitting process. And our proposal, Director, would be to aim for a hearing in February or March of 2022 and to hold a pre-hearing conference in August of this year to set the trial schedule. So that's where we'd like to go if that's agreeable to the department.
I Okay. Parties, any responses?
Director, this is Al Barker. Can I, would it be okay if I ask TJ a question about the schedule?
Sure.
TJ, I haven't seen any filings with FERC for a FERC license for the hydro facility, and I just wondered where that fits in with the water right process, and is that something we're going to see prior to having a hearing on the water rights, or is that something that you don't expect to file?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Al. As you know, the FERC process is a separate process, and they are processed by different agencies on separate tracks. I'm going to defer to James Karkoulis, who's on the phone. He's one of the proprietors of Cat Creek Energy, and James, do you have any updates on the FERC process?
Good morning, Director. Mr. Barker, I am an occupant agent for Cat Creek. We are just in the last stages of the process of getting the FERC filing together. We deferred for almost a year as we have been asked to front-end load the filings both for the Bureau of Reclamation and for FERC. We proceeded to do that. The unusual nature of the full set of attributes of the project put us into a very intense review of operational parameters, given the state of affairs, not only in Idaho, but the Western United States, and the subsequent move to 100% decarbonized grid, to 100% clean grid. Those sets of operational parameters are now much more numerous, and in order for us to have a comfort level that we have exhausted all the potential parameters that we may be faced with given our offtake opportunities that have come forth. We wanted to make sure that we had those embodied into the FERC application. We're just about there. I think that within the next 30 days, we should be in a position that we'll be filing the PAD and FERC license to move forward.
Thanks, James. Appreciate that. Mr. Director, could I ask him another follow-up?
Sure, and I assume, based on your initial question, that you would. Go ahead.
And the other part of the process was, where is Cat Creek with obtaining BOR approval to use the Anderson Reservoir, I guess it's called the lease of power privileges. Is that something that we expect to see in time for us to prepare for a hearing on the water rights?
Director Al, the answer is we're moving those simultaneously. So when we file the PAD and the FERC license application, we will also be then filing our documentation on the Bureau of Reclamation lease of power privilege. We already have a preliminary lease of power privilege. We wanted to work with those efforts simultaneously, which will then put forth the NEPA process in a hopefully a seamless methodology for everybody.
This is Gary Spackman. I have a follow-up question, and Al, I don't want to supplant or replace your questions, but it seems to me that the two questions you asked, Al, were not answered. And really, I think what you were seeking was an answer to whether, in preparation for the hearing, we will know what whether FERC is issuing a license or whether these are approvals from the Bureau of Reclamation will also be in place. And maybe that's not a question for Mr. Karkulis, maybe that's a question for DJ Budge in analyzing what's necessary to prepare for the contested water right hearing. But it seems to me the question is not answered.
Mr. Director, Director Spackman, I can't answer that question. This is James. We will have neither the final lease of power privilege or nor the FERC hydro license by the time of the water right hearing. We anticipate both of those happening probably third quarter or fourth quarter of 2022.
If I could, Mr. Director, this is Al again, could I follow up on that?
Sure, yeah.
I think a couple of pieces that would go along with that and some fairly detailed analysis, particularly environmental, but also all the rest of the NEPA analysis. There will have to be some kind of EIS and some kind of biological opinion, I presume. And I guess my question would be for Jim and TJ, are we going to see that information before you plan to have the water rights hearing so that we could at least analyze the local public interest prong of the water right application?
This is TJ. James, I don't know if you're on mute or if you're able to answer the status of that analysis. That's not something that Al that I've looked into. We are approaching the permit application under the statutory criteria, and we're aware of the protests that have been raised, and we will be prepared to address local public interest. As I mentioned before, the FERC license is a separate proceeding, and they take public input on that side. So we'll probably be a little bit cautious not to have to duplicate, or step on the toes of FERC and this permit application. But we do plan to be prepared to address the local public interest, and to the extent we have information that's relevant to that analysis, that will be available through discovery. That being said, I don't know the timing on whatever environmental studies may be required as part of the FERC licensing process.
Mr. Director, this is Al Barker again. I guess my question would be for you in terms of the sequencing. If all of this evaluation of environmental impacts, social impacts, how the facility is operating is going to be done through an EIS and a biological opinion, are we better off waiting until we have that information before having a water right hearing so that we can be fully informed? And I understand TJ saying, well, there's information out there that they could give us, but we still wouldn't have necessarily the final opinion from FERC or whether or not that was in this project was in public interest as far as FERC is concerned, or whether or not there will be adverse consequences to endangered species that need to be mitigated in a way that we're not anticipating water right hearing through a biological assessment and biological opinion process. And I guess I wonder whether or not the water right would be premature, water right hearing would be premature without having that information available to the parties.
So, Mr. Barker.
Al,
go ahead.
Dave, go ahead.
This is Gary Spackman. I thought the question was directed at me. If it's not, I'd prefer to remain silent.
Well, it was directed at you, Mr. Director, but I do think that there's a prematurity, or at least a question of whether or not we will have sufficient information, and I do think that affects the schedule for the hearing, but I certainly be happy to listen to Mr. Karpoulos and Mr. Bunch explain their position on why that's not information that we need for the water rights hearing.
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Dave Tuthill. I do have one comment in this regard, and that's that in my experience, a water right permit is often issued before all of the environmental studies are completed. Of course, the permit is subject to various things, and in this case, a permit would be subject to various requirements by FERC and by Bureau of Reclamation, but to wait for the hearing until all of the environmental studies are completed, in my experience, would be quite unusual.
TJ, do you have any other comment?
Yeah, if I might add, you know, under the statute, the local public interest criterion is quite narrow. It's statutorily defined as the interest of the people in the area directly affected by the proposed water use, the interest they have on the effects of such use on the public water source. So it's a unique and somewhat narrow analysis that applies specifically to the water right permitting application. I don't believe it's the department's role to pass judgment on the criteria that FERC may undertake in terms of issuing their license. So we'll be prepared to address the statutory criteria that governs the department's decision. I did not anticipate needing to have environmental impact study or BIOP prepared to satisfy that criteria. I'm not aware of that being required in prior proceedings. If you see things differently, we can revisit that. But Al's question seems to expand the analysis beyond what we had anticipated.
Okay, well, because the question was directed at me, let me see if I can field the question and at least offer some insight. I don't read the statutes or our rules and regulations to require that other permits or other approvals, particularly federal approvals, are prerequisites to IDWR approving the water right or considering the water right. And it seems to me we have an independent responsibility to move forward. Now, that being said, there is information that may cross over and may be relevant to the water right application consideration, and the development of the background of factual support for the FERC application or the BOR application may be helpful in leading to relevant information. So I can see that at least in either in the approvals of the federal applications or other permitting, or at least in the background information, there may be helpful, discoverable facts that would bear on the water right itself. And so, and I think the farther along those processes are, the easier it will be for the parties to analyze whether they have the information that's necessary to go to hearing. But ultimately, the burden of proof is borne by the applicant, and the applicant can then determine whether the applicant has sufficient evidence to present to support its application. So I think that's really the standard, and I'm hopeful that at least those applications for other permits or approvals may be far enough along that it won't require a lot of additional discovery in the IDWR contested case process. So I'm not sure that was helpful, Mr. Barker, but
Mr. Director, I think that was the point I was trying to make. I wasn't suggesting that we had to necessarily see a FERC license, but I do think that the information in the analysis that FERC and Fish and Wildlife Service are providing would be important information to have in looking at the local public issues in the case.
Yeah, I agree, Mr. Barker, and TJ and Mr. Karkoulis, Mr. Tuthill, in scheduling a hearing for the water right contested case, I would encourage at least that hearing and the scheduling coincide with at least the completion of the preparation or the completion of the applications and the underlying information for the other permits that may be required. I think it would shorten our processes and avoid duplication. So I come back to you, TJ, and just ask if scheduling a hearing in February, March of 2022 would accommodate my request.
Director, I'll have to defer that question to James Karkoulis again, as he's at the front of the FERC licensing process. From what I've heard, I don't see a reason to deviate from our initial proposal, but James, based on the comments that have been made, do you see a reason to change the target hearing date from February or March of 2022?
Director Spackman, well, I'm not heading up the FERC application by any means. I am reviewing it as it progresses. We've discussed this, and we believe that the additional monitoring that will be performed this year and the additional analysis that's going to be performed by a number of third-party consultants under the auspices of Idaho Water Engineers, I think probably gives us a pretty firm foundation by March of next year in our analysis of aquatics fisheries and other various areas of potential concern about the project's environmental impacts. That said, you know, we're probably open to maybe scooching that a couple months further out. Will our analysis be more complete? I'm not sure it will be, in all fairness, as we had indicated. There is, and you know, I give IWE and resources a lot of credit here. We've been able to find caches of information on Anderson Ranch and on the South Fork. That has helped in our initial analysis, you know, further monitoring that will not only be pre-construction but will be permanent post-construction will provide us with the necessary inputs to see if there's any variations that need to be presented to what our structural operating parameters will be and the impacts of those. So we thought March was a good date, but if people here feel that may be slightly inadequate, I don't think we would mind pushing that out a couple more months, maybe to May or so of next year. It's not going to make a fundamentally big difference on our part. Probably will be close to the same information that we would have provided during the course of late fall for discovery anyway. So, but that would be fine if need be.
This is Ann Bonney for Fish and Game. If I could ask a question?
Sure, Ann.
Yeah, I was just wondering if we could get a little bit more description of the types of studies that Cat Creek is proposing to do this summer. Fish and Game would be interested, I think, to know that as we contemplate studies we might want to perform and the kind of expert reports we might be asking for, not only in this matter, but also in the FERC proceeding.
Dave, I'll defer that to you.
Dave, you're on mute.
Yes, I'm muted here, thank you. Well, there is a full suite of studies that have been prepared for execution. Our people have been talking with Fish and Game people about these studies, about what might be necessary, and while they haven't been launched yet, we do anticipate within the next month they'll be launched. So we'll be communicating with Fish and Game personnel on these studies to address fisheries issues and thermal issues within the reservoir. So I will say that there's been a lot of communication so far, and we'll continue to do that.
Follow-up question, Ann?
I guess I'll defer to Fish and Game staff if they have any follow-up on that regarding communications and possible coordination on studies, types of studies. I think this information is important as we set the hearing schedule so we can understand what studies we need to undertake, because I think that will affect our schedule.
And this is Frank Edelman from Fish and Game. So, Dave, are you planning to schedule a meeting with Fish and Game in the near future to discuss your study?
Yes, Frank. We've had discussions. Last year, Jim Brock had discussions with fisheries people. He might not have been in this exact position when those were held, but yes, we would plan to coordinate with Fish and Game as we go forward, yes.
Okay, perfect. We have an offline discussion about scheduling that in early next week?
Yes.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you.
You bet.
So this is Gary Spackman again. Based on the discussion, it's my understanding that whatever studies are needed probably need to be completed this coming year and perhaps during the upcoming summer, fall period of time. And I would anticipate then that the coordination of those studies needs to happen within the next few weeks. If those studies extend into 2022, then we'll have difficulty conducting a water right hearing in the spring of 2022.
Director Spackman, this is James again. If I may, once we begin the additional studies from the evaluations that we've been able to make so far with the existing data, we are going to be monitoring from there on in. So we'll be able to give that first round of studies and the conclusions that are going to be based off of the existing evidence and any variables that we come up with in the next set of monitoring. But I just wanted to make sure that there's an understanding that our monitoring and our evaluation efforts once we begin here in the next month. They will continue. They will continue for all intents and purposes for the life of the project. So I just wanted to make that clear. So I don't want to find ourselves in a position that we're still monitoring and all of a sudden the water rights hearing would be pushed out further because we are just still monitoring the project. That's going to happen. And I just wanted to make sure that was clarified.
Okay, other input, questions?
So this is Ann Bonney again. I believe when we started this discussion, TJ indicated that we would reconvene in August to actually set the remainder of the hearing schedule. And I just had a question about the timing of that, the timing of expert reports, deadlines, and wondering if it makes more sense to set those deadlines now. Fish and Game is anticipating needing to do studies this summer. And we had sort of, in our minds, thought that December 1st would be a deadline in which we could hopefully wrap those studies up and produce a report on them. So I think it may be beneficial for us to have a firmer sense of what we're doing before August.
Director, this is TJ. And I appreciate the concern. We had the same discussion this morning. We're anticipating completing the data collection and being prepared to have expert reports issued in that same time frame that you're discussing late fall. And I'm fine setting, you know, a tentative expert report deadline, you know, early to late December or something of that nature. One thing we have figured out with this project, there are lots of moving parts and various government entities that are involved, and so the schedule and timing of things being accomplished seems to change with some degree of regularity, and that's just the nature of the project. So I'd have no objection to setting a target expert report deadline with the understanding that we may need to revisit that come August. But I think your proposal is something, you know, in December seems reasonable. James and Dave, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I concur.
This is Gary Spackman again. So the process for scheduling these interim steps that are preparatory activities for the ultimate hearing, usually that scheduling happens, at least in my experience, by establishing a date for the hearing and then working backwards. And if we and others, if we want to start setting deadlines for these interim steps, we probably first need to settle on a date for hearing. And based on the statements by Mr. Karkoulis and then trying to reconcile those with what TJ initially said, I probably would have said, TJ, if you want to hold to March, I'd identify a week in March and then an alternative week in July. But I think what I would propose is that we move back that proposed hearing date to May time frame, perhaps the third week of May. I want to avoid Memorial Day, and I actually don't have a 2022 calendar in front of me, but Sean, I think, does. And what's the Monday of the third full week of May?
May 16th.
May 16th? Yeah. That's far enough in advance. I don't have anything on my calendar. And I don't know whether a week is enough time. But my inclination is to target May of 2022. based on the statements of Mr. Karkulis. That gives everybody a little more time and a little more breathing room. Now, let's work backwards. If the parties want to establish some other dates for completion of these interim steps for preparation. Now, one of my concerns, I guess, if we're identifying a date for submittal of expert reports, one of my concerns is that we identify what the subject matter will be for those expert reports, because we've talked about possible fisheries studies, but I think there are other possible areas of expertise that need to be explored and probably facts that need to be presented that require expert testimony and expert analysis. So I'm just wondering whether we, prior to setting a deadline, we need to identify what expert reports need to be prepared.
This is Ann Bondi, Director. We're certainly open to that exercise. I think Fish and Game has a pretty good idea of what sort of experts it will be using in this matter. I don't know about other parties.
Director, this is TJ. I appreciate the suggestion. I had made a note during our conference today that I need to flesh out what issues parties have. You know, we've reviewed the protests and made a list of the concerns raised in the protests. As everybody knows, protests are usually pretty simplistic, and there may be other concerns or nuances that we're not appreciating. In terms of having that discussion in maybe an effective way, I wonder if it would be possible, I'm just speaking out loud here, or thinking out loud here, to have a meeting among parties that have raised protests concerning the local public interest, and just having an open discussion about the issues and concerns people have, and trying to identify which issues will need to be addressed in expert reports. I'm open to other suggestions, but I'm just thinking about an efficient way to do that given the number of parties that we have here.
TJ, are you offering to sponsor a meeting?
Yeah, you bet. Be happy to put one on the calendar and schedule it, and probably still need to meet virtually given the circumstances, but I think that would be an efficient way to get everybody in the same room and discuss what concerns are out there, so all the parties know the issues that may need to be addressed at the hearing.
All right. Well, let me talk just a little broader scope of consideration than just expert reports, because we also need to talk about discovery, identification of experts, the possibility of depositions, if there are experts, and I assume there will be, the subject matter, of course, that those experts will address, and then I guess other evidence that might be presented. But my experience is that identifying the subject matters of expertise and the areas of expertise that will be explored, and that identification is important early on for hearing preparation. And so, at least for me, TJ, if you would be willing to sponsor a meeting with the parties to discuss those subjects, and then come back to me with a proposed schedule. And I know we talked tentatively about December 1 as a deadline for expert reports, but I think we need to have a more comprehensive view of the the hearing preparation process. And if the parties can somehow agree to that process, then I could issue an order and also schedule a pre-hearing conference in August as a follow-up. Would that be acceptable?
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion.
And when could, what's a reasonable time frame for you to sponsor the meeting and then for some submittal of the outcome of the meeting, TJ?
I'm going to ask Dave Tuthill to weigh in on that, but I'm thinking we could do that within the next month and then submit a written report of some sort to the director from that meeting based on the subject to be addressed. And I'm pretty confident that when we have that meeting, we can all agree upon a schedule that works for everybody. But Dave, why don't you weigh in on that?
Well, we have a few moving parts, as has been mentioned here. Right now, would it be okay if that effort were to be completed during April?
That's fine with me as the hearing officer. Give me a date. April 16th, the day after taxes are due.
James, what's your thought?
Sorry, April 16th is a Friday. I guess that's fine if everybody else thinks it's fine.
Well, let's give you till the next Monday so people can work the weekend. So,
April 19th.
19th? April 19th?
April 19th works for us.
Yeah, let's set that as a deadline, and in the discussions, will you also identify a date in August that's acceptable to the parties? And I know that there's a week in August that I cannot participate, so I cannot be there August 18th through the 24th. Okay, other matters we need to talk about.
Director, this is TJ. Just to follow up on that last one, I'll send a letter to all of the parties inviting them to that meeting, and I'll provide a link for video conference participation for April 16th, just so for those on the phone, that will be coming.
Okay, and then because of the pending discussions that we anticipate and are planning, I won't issue an order following this pre-hearing conference today. I'll wait until after April 19th, anticipating that there will be better clarification of a schedule at that time, and also the identification of a date for a pre-hearing conference in August. Is that acceptable?
Works for Fish and Game.
Going once, twice, gone. Okay, any other subjects we need to talk about today?
Director Beckman, I have one. This is Fred Price from BLM.
Yeah, Fred.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I appreciate your orders that came out recently. I was looking at item 4 on order denying Espar Ranch petition to review on renewed motion. The one where you reduce the place of use, and on page 6,
quote, rule about applicants shall submit copies of deeds, leases, easements, applications for right-of-way of federal state agency. So for the four applications for permit, BLM didn't protest the power one, but protested the subsequent three on grounds that the applicant would need a right-of-way to convey these new rights across federal land through other people's infrastructure. So I just wanted to share with Director, to date, no applications for right-of-way have been filed. That was it for me.
All right, that's good information for the applicant and for the remaining parties. And Mr. Price, if BLM has some matter that they want to bring in front of the hearing officer, I would expect that would be a filing on behalf of BLM, either for some sort of clarification or action by the director. And I don't have anything right now, but anyway, thank you for the factual representation of where things are right now. Okay, anything else? I'd remind the parties that the department has authorized discovery, and to the extent parties want to engage in discovery, you're welcome. I'm hoping through this coordination that maybe the need for discovery will be diminished. Okay, thanks for your participation today. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director.